Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Well, it's the big show. Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight.
Is the Wendy's Big Show here on a Friday. Welcome in one and all alongside not one but two former Packers, Gary Ellerson and Leroy Butler. I'm Radio Joe Zanzola filling in again for Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. He will be back on Monday as he's enjoying just a few days off. Dan Plucker, other side of the glass, executive producer running things and taking your calls. A lot to get to, and it is the big show after all. We've got a big lineup today. We're going to be talking with all of our insiders, like literally everyone. So we've got everything covered. We have a nice variety today of content for you here on the Wendy's Big Show. We'll talk.
Joe Louis. Did you hear that, Leroy?
Yeah, I heard him.
Variety of content.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah. You're a pro, yeah. Joe. I mean, that's awesome.
That's how you're
like
getting
that.
Your compliment, Joe. That's all.
Yeah, yeah. I
don't
love
get
that.
So defensive, Joe. Just
yeah,
so good
variety of. I love that, Joe.
Hey, man. It's all about.
I love it.
It's all about keeping our listeners here. We don't want them going off to other places to listen to things. This is where they want to.
Love it.
Okay, so this is what we have.
What we got, buddy?
Coming up at 2:35.
Buddy.
We will talk with Eric Name, our Milwaukee basketball insider from The Athletic. We'll get his thoughts on yesterday's roller coaster game of the Milwaukee Bucks and Miami Heat as the Bucks got the win yesterday. But, boy, they didn't make it look easy in that first half. So Eric Name will be joining us coming up in about a half hour. In the 3 o'clock hour, we will talk with Adam McKelvey. Things had to get moved around, so he's going to join us at 3:20. From Brewers.com and MLB.com, we'll get his thoughts on the crew. As how about the Brewers coming back, evening out the series, going down to Chicago and winning both of those games. They are back to 500 now. We'll talk with Adam then. And then in the 4 o'clock hour, Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette will join us at 4:48 as we get the latest from Packers training camp. And then we will go one step further and get another update with Mike Clemens at 5:35. He's got a lot to say in regards to what's been going on up there, and also some thoughts on Brett Favre. We'll hear from Brett Favre a little bit later on in the show as well. Again, yeah, we never got to the rest of what he had to say yesterday because we had a lot of – yesterday was just crazy. I mean, and today's crazy too. You don't have a Bucks game to watch at the same time, but the PGA Championship is going on. In other news, we see that the St. Louis Cardinals, another player, tested positive. We find out that the Brewers are canceling their on-deck event in January of 2021. So there's been a lot of things going on, and I'm sure more news will break throughout the course of the show. So what we're going to lead off with today, and I was getting some flack for what I define as scrappy. There's some there's some Bucks players who I consider to be scrappy, and Gary had a problem with some of the players I rattled off. So, you know, it got me thinking.
I really didn't have a problem with the player that you rattled off. I mean, it was just the players that you rattled off.
Well, there's no specifics here. This is what the Radio Joe eye test tells me when I watch these Bucks games. But it got me thinking today. I was on the driving range hitting some balls, and I'm thinking, you know, we're always talking about Giannis and Chris Middleton and Eric Bledsoe. Okay, these are the three that have to be key to win an NBA championship, blah, blah, blah. Like, we've done that ad nauseum. So then I thought, when we talk about the scrappy Bucks and some of the other guys that are going to be contributors here in this postseason run, who are the next three guys that are key for the Milwaukee Bucks to win a championship? 414-799-1250 is the phone number. You can hit us up on Twitter at 1057FMTheFan or on Facebook, facebook.com/1057FMTheFan. So Giannis, Chris Middleton, and Eric Bledsoe do not count in this. Who are the next three? Gary Ellerson, what say you?
Well, let's start with you, Joe. I mean, you host a post-game show and, you know, all that stuff, and you're deeply in bed. You go to all the press conferences. Well, when we had them, you go to all the press conferences that they have, and let's just start with you. Let's start off with you. I think it would be good to hear your point of view on this one first.
All right, so here are my three that I'll bounce off. Number one, well, actually, I'll start backwards. Number three is Dante DiVincenzo. And we are nearly 5 months removed from the NBA season before everything came to a halt in early March from the pandemic. But if you go back and you look at the production of Dante DiVincenzo, I think some people forget just how valuable that kid was coming off the bench for this team. And again, the Bucks were in a situation last year where in the offseason, okay, well, you lose Malcolm Brogdon. How are you going to make up for this? How are you going to build up your bench, and how are you going to make up for that lost production without not having Malcolm Brogdon here anymore? And so one of the guys that you were looking at that would hopefully maybe take another step forward in his development was Dante. I mean, you didn't really see much of Dante last year because he was injured. Well, if you look back at his numbers and the fact he was filling up stat sheets doing so many different things, again, the scrappy, scrappy, scrappy mindset, Dante DiVincenzo, I think, is a pretty valuable piece to this team. And I really think, I mean, yeah, he's young, but he's also a kid that's been able to get through an NCAA tournament that takes a lot of grinding, and it takes a lot of hard work. So he's been to the mountaintop in that regard, in the collegiate aspect. I think in this aspect now in the postseason, I think Dante DiVincenzo has to be a very valuable piece. So, and that's both offensively and defensively. So I've got him at number three. At number two, now, we haven't really seen much out of him so far. He's been kind of quiet, but George Hill, I think, is number two on my list for the veteran presence, for his ability to come off the bench, run the point, hit shots, find open guys. And then number one for me, most valuable behind Giannis, Chris Middleton, and Eric Bledsoe, is Brook Lopez. And Brook Lopez last year was unbelievable when it came to hitting the three-point shot. This year it has not been the case, and they've been trying to do more stuff with Brook as a post player, especially when you had that huge mismatch against Houston. I think if Brook Lopez, if they have to rely on him to hit the outside shot again, he's got to get going. Because if he gets hot in the postseason, that goes a long way. And then pair that just with the amazing shot-blocking abilities that he has developed the last couple of years since joining the Bucks. So my top three behind Giannis, Middleton, and Bledsoe would be number three, Dante DiVincenzo, number two, George Hill, and number one, Brook Lopez, Gary Ellerson. So, I mean, does that feel right to you, or do you have a completely different list?
Well, I mean, it, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and I may go a different route than you, because I don't disagree with you. DiVincenzo, yes. Brook Lopez, I mean, yes. George Hill, yes. And I think those guys are going to get minutes, right? Those guys are going to be consistent. I think you're going to see Pat Connaughton, if you wanted to throw in there, yes. You know what I mean? But if they're going to win a championship, and I don't, in no particular order for me, I think you got to have Kyle Korver. He didn't really look that good yesterday, and it's maybe what Sidney Moncrief have said. I think was it Sidney Moncrief that said that his jump shot is just not what it used to be, and maybe he's old. But I think some way, somehow, when everybody is playing together and he's your fifth option on the floor, I think he's going to have some outside shots to be wide open that he's going to have to knock down. I just think he's going to have to be valuable or more valuable at what he's been giving us so far. So Chris Middleton will probably be my number one. My number two would be Marvin Williams. Very athletic at that four position. They picked him up late. But I think there's another guy that got hurt by the layoff here, and he has to try to start all over again. You know what I mean? And try to get in with what they're trying to do and get up to speed. And last but not least, for me, is Ersan Ilyasova. You're not looking for him to score, but defensively. I mean, he's another post player you can throw in there, fouls, those types of things, charges. I mean, that's what he does well. But if you're looking for somebody to score, to me, it's got to be number one, Kyle Korver. And I really think Marvin Williams can add something to this team that they really haven't had for a while coming off the bench. So, a little bit different. I don't disagree with what you're saying, Joe. I'm just looking at it a little bit different. I'm looking at some of these role players that aren't playing that you may have to rely on to win a championship. So those would be my three.
414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Who are the top three players that you have that can help the Bucks win an NBA title this year, but this does not include Giannis Middleton or Eric Bledsoe? It's the next three, because LeRoy, as we all know, teams are going to do everything they can to make sure Giannis doesn't score inside, right? I mean, this is what it's going to be, and I think the Toronto Raptors kind of gave you the blueprint there that, hey, if you can just wall off the paint, Giannis then is going to be off balance. He's going to get very uncomfortable, and it's going to be important for him to dish it out. If we're talking about just offensively for the Bucks, there's got to be some guys they're going to have to hit from the outside. There's going to have to be some guys that when they get an open shot, they're going to have to drain it. So who are your top three guys behind the big three?
First of all, let's say this. Without them top three guys, they ain't going no damn well. There ain't nobody.
For sure.
Yeah, they ain't. Just got to put that disclaimer out there.
Yeah,
neither
that's true.
You nor Joe said that. Right. So I just want to let these people know riding around know that we ain't crazy. For me, they ain't going
Wait a minute. What?
If them three is off, they going home, okay? Ain't none of these guys going to help them win nothing.
Yeah, Giannis, Middleton, Bledsoe, of course. You're stating the obvious. Right. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes we would like to state the obvious in case people don't understand what the obvious really is.
Well, now, Twitter will go after you guys, and they're going to say that. So we've covered it, so Twitter saves. I save them some time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Because you know they're the smartest guy in the room type stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know they're not going anywhere. We know that, Junior. We're just having some fun. Just stay on top.
That guy.
Okay?
That
right. But for me, Brook Lopez has to be number one for me. This guy blocked 215 million shots. I do have confidence in him taking that shot, because if you're a known shooter like I am, he's not afraid to take a shot. And he can be way out. He'll take it. So you need people like that, because I'm going to tell you something. Another guy, my second guy on this list, Wes Matthews is going to get all the open shots he can swallow. All he wants. They're going to leave him wide open. From the corner, the elbow, the armpit, wherever y'all create. They're not even going to play defense on him. They're going to collapse on Giannis and maybe put two people on Middleton. I don't know. They're going to leave him wide open if he's making that shot. Because remember, when they were down a ton of runs, he made a couple threes. I think it was three or four from three. I mean, I think it was two or three from three. He hit a couple threes that started to run. Okay? And for me, the last guy, you know, would be somebody that can calm everybody down, get the offense going. I'm a big George Hill guy. It just seems like everybody likes him. And I think he's another guy that's not afraid to take a wide open shot. Everybody we're talking about on our list going to get every opportunity to be the Van Vliet of the Bucks. They're going to leave you wide open. You cannot hesitate. You got to catch and shoot. You got to trust your game. Otherwise, it's going to be another big disappointment. So I think that's the one thing you got to work on down the stretch these last few games. These guys got to get used to being wide open, and they got to take these shots. Making them is, you know, if you could hit, you know, most of them, you're going to be fine. But to me, you got to take them. What the problem is, Joe and Gary, they catch it by themselves, and they hesitate what to do with it. Shoot it.
Got to let it fly.
That's what Bud's saying. He's throwing his hands out like he Jesus. Like, what you doing? Shoot the ball. Shoot it. They running back down. He's like, what you doing? You wide open. I know you want to get it down to Giannis. All that sound good. Shoot the ball. Because if you can't make these shots, then there's no parade in Milwaukee. But if they make them, then, yes, you will see a parade, and they're going to win a championship. There can't be no hesitation. And that's why I like Brook Lopez, man. This guy shoot from half court. He don't care. Just put him up. And I think that's the biggest thing about defending the three is shooting the three. And I think that's why this is a good topic, because we're going to find people to say who was the hero of that series or that game. It'd be one of the guys we just brought up. And that's the reason why they're going to advance to the finals.
I think John Horst has really done a phenomenal job at just building this team around Giannis.
Wait a minute. He's not even calling the shots. Why are you giving him credit?
What are you talking about? Of course he's calling the shots. John Horst?
Okay. I just need everybody to hear that, because, you know, some people don't like him.
No, John Horst is his own man, and we learned that after the whole Jason Kidd debacle.
Calling the shots.
Thank you. Jump in there, Gary.
Why? Who do you think is calling the shots?
Well, no one knows, right?
John Horst calling the shots, man.
No, this is John Horst, man.
You think this is John Horst?
Absolutely, I do.
Watch you get some phone calls and some Twitter saying, no, he's not.
No, there's no meddling going on. This is the first time we can say that there is no meddling of any kind, man, going on in that organization. The owners are not. The trifecta of owners.
Good, Joe.
They're not stepping in and going, hey, John. Can you bring in Kyle Korver, please? Can you make that trade for George Hill? Hell no. John Horst has just done an outstanding job. And even the guys that he hasn't even re-signed. I mean, Malcolm Brogdon and Jabari Parker, both of those back-to-back years, were very controversial decisions. And it was widely debated as to whether or not it would be the right decision to hang on to Jabari Parker for another year or sign Malcolm Brogdon to a long-term contract. He didn't do either one, and it's benefited the Bucks. In fact, the Bucks have been even better without Malcolm Brogdon, and I was skeptical about that. So I think John Horst has done a tremendous job.
There's a couple of our colleagues, Joe, that don't believe that. I'm just putting it out there.
You're just keeping it 100, and that's fine.
So refreshing to know that you think like what me and Gary's been saying too, because we are definitely in the minority.
Twitter,
phone calls, and some colleagues in that building think he ain't got nothing to do with what's going on, and it makes me sick. This man got executive of the year and gets no credit.
No, I felt that way when Jason Kidd was here.
That what?
Okay, that's
that Jason Kidd was calling the shots, not John Horst. That this was that,
maybe we should have went to break with that, Gary. I don't know why I kept it going.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's what I felt. But John Horse is no puppet. John Horse is running the show, and he's got a team that's the number one team in the NBA.
Okay, good.
How about that? We will ask you guys 414-799-1250 behind the big three: Giannis, Middleton, Eric Bledsoe. Who are your next most important top three Bucks to help win this team an NBA title this season? We will discuss coming up next here on the Wendy's Big Show.
Played amazing. They were moving the ball. Led was just playing faster and faster. Going downhill, making the right play. They were playing amazing. Happy to see that. And when I was able to come back in, all I was trying to get to their in their rhythm. Play how they were playing. They were playing fast. They were playing hard. And it's good to see that.
Oh, effort is everything. Welcome in. Wendy's Big Show continues here in the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios. GeneWagnerPlumbing.com for all of your plumbing needs. Giannis, they're talking about the effort in the second half as the Bucks outscoring the Heat by 31 in the second half. I mean, just crazy the drastic difference it was between the first half and how sloppy the Bucks were and how much they look like the number one team in the NBA in the second half. And that is encouraging to see. The Bucks now have the number one seed, so that is locked up. We'll talk with Eric Name, our Milwaukee basketball insider, coming up here in about 10 minutes. But we're asking you at 414-799-1250, after the big three, Giannis, Middleton, and Eric Bledsoe, who are the next top three key contributors to this Bucks team when it comes to trying to win an NBA championship? Let's go to Ram on the north side. Ram, you're next up here on The Fan.
What's going on, Radio Joe and Leroy?
What's up?
What's up, Ram?
What that jumper looking like?
That thing's sweet, cuz. It look like Mark Price when he's with the Cavaliers. That's how it looks. You may be too young for that.
Ram don't know nothing about Mark Price.
Man, Mark Price.
Yeah, Ram.
Reggie Miller.
Reggie Miller. Gary, I'm only a few years younger than you.
You don't know about Mark Price. You know about Mark Price?
80s. Huh? Reggie Miller was a good contested shot.
Look, Magic Johnson came to my school when our basketball practices, bro, and brought A.C. Green and Byron Scott.
Very nice.
I go back to that era.
Why you didn't call me then? That's what you should have called me. You know I'm a Laker fan.
You should have found me, bro.
Come get me, man. Don't never see no Lakers without me.
Good to hear from you, my brother. Kind of story told, huh?
I love it. I love them Lakers.
Hey, I'm going to say this. I just think that Sterling Brown and J.J. Wilson need to be on the floor. You need some athletic guys that can get to the rack. Unless you the Golden State Warriors or Luka Doncic or Bradley Beal, you popping up threes. Team's not going to respect your shot. That's why they don't send nobody out there. And I don't see a big three. I see Giannis, and then I see two other guys that are good players. Because when you say a big three, you're talking about you getting 60 points from your top three, 65 points.
Middleton just scored 30, man. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it was a combined 66 between Giannis and Middleton yesterday.
Let's say this. Jimmy Butler didn't play. Let's keep it 100. When they played the last game against the Heat,
Dragic
12 shots to score 12 points, and he had them on lock. Just keep it and Goran, I say it was a good win, but you got to keep it 100. I got to keep it 100. Goran Dragic didn't play, and he did a number. He did a number on them. But it was a good win. But we got to look at it, the whole picture. Just don't erase it like this didn't happen.
I can't control their roster and mine. If he ain't play, that's on him. I'm gonna still play my game.
You got to take advantage of the situation. But now, if you're talking about playing
right,
Leroy, just like what you said. Now, I'm going to say this about John Horse. Mm. I don't think he's making calling the shots. And I'm hearing this.
Oh, Ram. Come on, Ram.
I'm just telling you. I even heard to the point that when Middleton got the big contract that he wasn't available for a comment for over a week. You heard what happened with John?
Well, Adams? Who calling the shots then, Ram?
There you go.
It's Lazary, Edens, and Diamond.
Nah.
Stop.
I think they're doing the Jerry Jones.
No, Ram.
Oh, yeah. Michael Madison. Yeah, yeah.
They ain't putting in that kind of time, man.
I agree with you on this, Leroy, is this. And I want Radio Joe to hear this now. I think what's missing for a championship is Parker and Brogdon. And the reason I say this, I just believe when you got winning and you have won on whatever level, I think that's a carryover. That's a carryover. It's, you know, that's you can't displace that because in
well, that's why. But that's like why that, Joe. But Red, that's why. And thanks for the call, Red. And that's why Joe put DiVincenzo in his three. Big DiVincenzo won at the biggest level. That's to your point.
Yep.
Joe put him in his three. That kid's won at the level. We saw him playing in the NCAA, and he's very athletic, and he's not scared. So he could play, and he started before.
Well, and
he's been battle tested.
Well, and the thing is, when the Bucks made that pick, first of all, they got that pick on a coin flip.
Right.
You remember that? So then it was like, okay, well, the Bucks are kind of right in the middle of the draft. So what can they possibly get? And a lot of people didn't really like the Dante DiVincenzo pick because it was, oh, John Horst is just picking a guy that got hot in the NCAA tournament, and that's really all he is. It's just a kid that was hot and was hitting threes, and okay, this is what it is. But Dante DiVincenzo has been way more than that. In fact, his three ball, that's not even complete yet. He's not even a complete shooter yet, but it's everything else that he does offensively and defensively where he's getting his hands dirty that makes him such a productive player. I'm not just asking Dante DiVincenzo to just go out there and hit some threes. It's all the other little things, and it's all about trying to get that basketball back, trying to force some turnovers. That's what Dante DiVincenzo's been doing. This team, it's incredible that this team is even better than Malcolm Brogdon. You know, I mean, that was a legitimate concern I had at the time, Gary. I mean, I wasn't sure how much of the production could be made up with the loss of Brogdon, and it's been made up and then some.
Well, yeah, I mean, they had to do it by committee, right? Obviously. You just can't go in and, you know, make up for what. You know,
right,
Brogdon.
That this guy, you need to be Malcolm Brogdon. Right,
right. That they could, and they figured that out.
Right, I mean, absolutely.
They didn't want to pay the money, obviously. Brogdon's been hurt again, and so they just, you know, and I think the Bucks made the right choice. Right, I mean, they paid Bledsoe, they paid Middleton, they're gonna pay Giannis, so someone had to be the odd guy out, and good for Brogdon. I'm happy for him that he landed in a good situation for him and got paid. So that's good for him. But I think when you look at the Bucks on their way to the championship, and I just Kyle Korver is my guy. He's got to be my X guy. I mean, because you know what's gonna happen, Joe. They're gonna collapse on Giannis like never before.
That's the blueprint.
And shooters got to be out. I mean, they got to be looking. They got to be ready to shoot it right now.
Got to be ready to shoot.
And that's similar to what Leroy was talking about, you know, before we went to the first break. You guys got to let it fly. Kyle Korver, and maybe he is old. Maybe he is past his prime. But that Kyle Korver, when he was with the Atlanta Hawks, was automatic.
Man. He was shooting that thing.
And, you know, Ray Allen, when Ray Allen – and I guess it's unfair to compare Kyle Korver to Ray Allen, but he was in that same category for a minute. But when Ray Allen was with what? Miami?
Just
was he damn near 40?
Just was go to the corner and wait.
He was pretty damn close, yeah.
Look up and see how old he was, Joe. Was he 40 almost?
Let's see.
Because right now Kyle Korver is like 37. History. What's Kyle Korver? 37, 38?
I think he's 200, but
so that I just Ray want Allen's I don't eat, Leroy, I don't even want Kyle Korver. He don't really defense. I just want him to get down the floor, get in the corner and shoot.
And just wait.
Wait.
Just wait.
Yeah, his two final seasons with Miami, he was 37 and 38 years old.
Right on.
And what's Kyle Korver right now?
I think he's 37, 38.
Yeah.
I think he's saying you're right on point, Garrett. Just staying in the
39.
Corner and wait.
Kyle Korver's 39.
Okay, yeah. There you go. I'm in the ballpark.
He got to make it. He going to shoot it now. He ain't scared. He going to be wide
can't
open.
Win.
Sure can't.
You know what my homeboy used to say, Leroy? Huh?
What did he say? Hit the home button. What did he say?
What did he say?
If you're scared, go get a dog. Roof, roof.
That's what he said.
Let's
or
go.
Stay on the porch. Or stay on the porch.
If you're scared, go get a dog. Woof, woof.
We're going to get to Eric Name here in just a minute, but let's go up north to Grafton and hear from Damani. Damani, who do you have after Giannis, Middleton, and Bledsoe as your top three most important Bucks to win a title?
Brook Lopez.
Thank you.
Yes.
Brook Lopez has to hit open shots.
Yeah.
Especially because they're going to collide on Giannis. And so he has to kick it out and make open shots. But there's also one thing I want to say.
Come on.
Against Toronto and against the Heat, Middleton has to be the best player on the floor.
Who is?
Middleton. He got a good point. You got a good point.
Because you see when they double-team him and clog him up, he can't do nothing. And Middleton has to make those open shots and score one-on-one. Because last night, Middleton was the best player on the floor, in my opinion.
Yep. He was, you know what? Middleton's been playing. I think his shot just looks smooth right now.
Well, he lost like 25 pounds. He looks really good, man.
Leroy.
Good hit for you, Damani.
Leroy.
Spell it again for me, Gary.
S-M-O-O-V-E.
Give me the word again.
Smooth.
Smooth.
S-M-O-O-V-E. Look really smooth. I mean, he looked
like he lost like 25, 30 pounds.
Huh?
It looked like he hit the hot button. It looked like he lost maybe 25, 30 pounds. Him and Bledsoe, man. Yeah. And Gary, you're right about his shot. It's a quick trigger shot. I'm like, where'd that come from?
So much better, cuz.
Well, it's on a nice arc to it. I like, man. I've been a big Chris Middleton fan. People don't give him a lot of credit, but if he's averaging 20, 25 points, they're going to be tough to beat.
Well, I mean, the Chris Middleton that we're seeing now, this is a career year for Chris Middleton. I mean, he's playing less minutes on average, and he's scoring more. I mean, he's having a career-high points per game, 21.1. His average in rebounds is a career high. His average in assists is close to a career high. Three-point shooting, he's 41% from three this year. I mean, that is also nearly a career high. Actually, it is a career high. And then, I mean, he's doing everything right and then some. If this Chris Middleton cannot show up in the playoffs, then I give up, man. I give up. I give up.
To Damani's point, if Chris Middleton is the best on the floor, not only are the Bucks going to win a championship, they're going to blow people out. They just are. I mean, that means because Giannis is going to get his. And some teams may say, you know what, let Giannis get his 25, 35 points. I just need to suppress everybody else. And that's what these teams do. They'll give Jordan 45, but they won't give nobody else nothing else. They'll just rotate and make somebody have to be the Van Vliet of the Bucks. For them, and I think it'll be Matthews will be one of my three guys. He's going to get some wide open looks. I mean, I'm talking about wide open. He got to make them.
Well, it would be nice if the Bucks can have a Van Vliet. I don't care who it is. Just someone put up 30 points a night like it's no one's business. And Fred Van Vliet, he's no fluke. I mean, this
not
guy,
no more.
He had 36. He had 36 the other night against,
sure
I think, against Miami.
They just be leaving him wide open.
Well, he's... Fred Van Vliet is a really nice player. I give him a lot of credit.
He's
all right, we will get into more of this when we get into Great Lakes Dragway pick a lane at 5 o'clock. And actually, we'll ask Eric Name on the other side.
Name.
Who are his top three right after Giannis, Middleton, and Bledsoe? That was a nice conversation. That's about what I expected with you two. And it's always a lot of fun doing this here on the Wendy's Big Show. I'm Radio Joe alongside Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler. We'll talk with Eric Name, our Milwaukee basketball insider, next here on The Fan.
Came out of a couple timeouts and executed, and Chris and Giannis were sharp. The team was sharp. I just thought we were a lot better, a lot more decisive. It's kind of one of the words we've been using, talking about going down the stretch. So it was good to execute there from about the 5 minute mark to the 3 or 2 minute mark and get some separation.
That's Mike Budenholzer talking about yesterday. A nice final outstanding stretch there for the Milwaukee Bucks. Just really overall, the second half was so much better than the miserable first half and all the freaking out that we saw on social media during the big show. Oh, boy. Thank goodness they won, and thank goodness they have the number one seed now as we move forward. Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, I'm Radio Joe here on the Wendy's Big Show in the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios, and it's always a pleasure to welcome in this guy. Joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, our Milwaukee basketball insider from The Athletic, the one and only Eric Name. Eric, my friend, what is going on?
Oh, not much. Just enjoying a nice Friday afternoon. Yourselves?
Oh, we're having fun here.
You doing good, my bro?
We were just having a discussion about after Giannis, Middleton, and Bledsoe. We know how important these guys are. After those three, who do you think are the top three Bucks that are key to getting this team to win an NBA title this year?
I think it would start with Brook Lopez. I think you might even argue that Lopez could go up above Bledsoe. And, you know, I guess just kind of night in, night out, Brook has been so important to what they do defensively that I just think on that end, he's so huge. And then you've seen in these season games, teams are going to force the Bucks to use Brook in different ways, and they've been really comfortable posting him up. So I think Brook is maybe even number three, but he would certainly be the next one on that list. Then I think you go to George Hill. That is your insurance policy for Eric Bledsoe. If Eric Bledsoe does not have a good postseason or he has a series where he struggled, like he has the last two postseasons against the Raptors last year and against the Celtics the year before that, you know, Hill is the guy that fills in, that hits the shots, that runs the offense, that takes care of the basketball. And honestly, if you've watched him thus far down in Orlando, it's been a struggle. You know, he's turned the ball over a whole lot more than he typically does. He hasn't been hitting shots. He hasn't been as aggressive as he was where he was. I mean, honestly, there's no way he's ever going to get Sixth Man of the Year consideration because he doesn't score enough, and they really only give that award to guys that come in off the bench and fill it up. But, I mean, he was you'd struggle to find someone more valuable off the bench this year than George Hill. And then I think the last one, it's really tough for me to decide between DiVincenzo and Wesley Matthews, but I think I'm going to go Wesley Matthews because Chris Middleton mentioned it last night too, but Wesley Matthews takes that assignment. Whatever that assignment is against whatever team, it is his. If it is a big wing like Kawhi Leonard, James Harden, LeBron James, Pascal Siakam, whoever it may be, that is Wesley Matthews' job. He is the one that has to take that beating. He's the one that has to be strong, play the good defense, and, you know, rely on the other guys offensively. And because he does that, it frees up Chris Middleton to be as good as he has been offensively this year. Last year, they asked Chris to do both things. Hey, you're going to get the best wing player that the other team has defensively and offensively. We're going to need you to be our second guy. And I think you could see it wear on him a little bit in that Raptors series where he was having to defend Kawhi Leonard on one end, and then on the other end, he was getting defended by Kawhi Leonard. Like, that was a lot to take for him, and I think it just kind of threw him off for the entirety of that series. So I think this year, that's why Wesley Matthews can be so important. So if I have to pick three, it'll be Lopez, Hill, Matthews in that order.
I would say this, Eric. When you look at George Hill, I think, and I said this on the air the other day, I think George Hill can be exposed. I think Bledsoe can be exposed. But I think when you have both of these guys playing, that somehow, some way, they make each other better. I mean, they don't get exposed that much because I think, you know, one makeup can make up for the other one.
Yeah, I think they're kind of a nice, you know, thunder and lightning kind of mix if you want to think about like a backfield in the NFL where, you know, you have the one guy that's a little bit more speed, that's going to be more based on his athleticism than the other one that's based a little bit more on his skill where, you know, Bledsoe, he is one of the quickest point guards in the league. He's one of the strongest point guards in the league. but he can't shoot it that well. So it, the nights where you really need to get him going downhill, you really need him to get to the rack, he can handle that. But, you know, if there's a night where you really need to spread the floor, you really need to be able to get Giannis space, then you move over to George Hill and say, all right, George, take us home tonight. Like, this is going to be your show, and there you go. He's going to have that nearly 50% three-point shooting that he had this year. He's going to be able to knock down those shots, and he'll take care of the basketball. And the reason why I think it's possible is because both are so good defensively. A lot of times in the NBA, when, you know, you're talking about bringing up someone off the bench, it looks like an offense-only guy. Like, if you think about the Clippers and Lou Williams, his big thing is, all right, yeah, I can come in and get some buckets, but he's also going to concede a bunch of buckets on the other end. The nice thing with Hill and Bledsoe is that they're both really good defensively, so that you really are kind of picking and choosing what offensive need you have for that night, and then you're picking which one you want to fill it.
Name, you've been the best at two people, that you're a whisperer.
The what?
Coach Bud, a whisperer, you know, like... What's you know, like a one? Whisperer, like you know that person. Like you can talk to them without even knowing, and you know what they're saying, and you always write about these two people. That's okay. Giannis and Coach Bud, okay? Tell me what their mentality is, in your opinion, going into these last stretch of games. You got the number one seed. It's all wrapped up. I mean, are they thinking about fresh legs? Are you thinking about maybe turnovers, defending the three that we've seen them? A lot of teams have been shooting a lot of threes against them, Eric, and a lot of people are concerned about that. Tell me what these two guys, what their mentality is going to these last two games,
Yeah, I think it was kind of fun this week. Maybe the Bucks fans didn't find it fun, but, you know, at halftime of that Nets game, I tweeted out something to the effect of, like, the Bucks are going to have to decide whether or not they want to win this game. And a bunch of Bucks fans were like, what do you mean you have to decide whether or not to win this game? Like, go get the number one seed. And I told them, like, hey, you're going to see what the Bucks want to do here when they come off in the half. And sure enough, they come off in the second half, Giannis and Chris are on the bench, and it became very obvious that they didn't want to win that game. Not to say that they didn't want to win it, but their goal in the end wasn't, hey, we need to get a win today. It was, hey, we need to get our guys right and we need to get our minutes right. And I think that's the big thing we've seen with Bud throughout all of this, is that he came into this with a plan. He was going to get his guys ready, try to get them to the peak of their powers by the start of the first playoff game. They didn't care about, oh, you know, you're playing the Rockets, that's a good test for you. Oh, you're playing the Celtics, that's the team that you need to beat, the Raptors, the Heat, whoever it is. That's not necessarily their concern. They want to try to be playing their best basketball, so they're going to keep trying to get right, and they're going to keep working towards that. But it was always with a long view in mind. It was never, this is the night, hey, once we clinch, then we're going to start resting guys. I don't think you're going to see that. I think they clinched the one seed last night, and I think their plan was going to stay the same, whether they clinched that two games in, whether they clinch that three games in, seven games in, whatever it was always going to be the plan that this was how they were going to do it. And Bud has told us that from the beginning, that, hey, we're worried about being at the peak of our powers once we get to that point. So I think that's the big thing. And, you know, how that affects Giannis is we've seen Giannis, I mean, I'm trying to think how many years that you have to go back on this. Probably 4 years now, like, since he's been the man in Milwaukee. At the start of every season, he's going to have a bunch of silly fouls where he reaches too much, and he's going to get a bunch of fouls where he's trying to do too much. Like, that, those are just the facts. That's how Giannis works year over year. And the only way for him to get out of it is to essentially play his way out of it. So that's another reason why I don't think you're going to see the Bucks really rest a ton with these guys in the next little while, because they know that that first-round series is going to be a joke, and they can win that in four games, maybe five. So they're not worried about that. So, I mean, they do have a little bit more time to play with, but I think they know, and Giannis knows, that he needs to get out of the super excited, I just want to be on the floor again, silly fouls, trying to do too much, to a spot where he feels really comfortable and he can really play. And I think if you look at Giannis's seasons from the last 2 years, I would say probably right around the 20-30 game mark is really where he starts to feel feel super comfortable. And obviously this is not ideal for that because you're going to have the eight seeding games and then four games against a, you know, an inferior opponent in the first round. So you're going to have about 12 games. So he knows he needs to reach that peak a little bit earlier than he normally does. So I think you're going to see him go hard. You're going to see him probably work through some foul trouble. We saw it again last night. But eventually he's going to find that rhythm and try to get to the spot where he feels really comfortable, which typically takes, you know, the first month, month and a half of the season. So I think, I don't want to say it's like a race against time or anything, because he's still spectacular even when he is in foul trouble. I think he's in the games that he's playing now, it's 36, 36, 33. So he's just fine, but he can be even better. And I think that's really the thing that both him and Bud are focused on, is how do you get him to that spot where he's playing really great mm-hmm. basketball.
Well, nice. The other thing too is, and I want to piggyback off of that with Giannis, I mean, to me at least, Eric, I think now's the time for him to just continue to work on that three-point shot. I mean, and he's got games to do it here where it's really not going to hurt him now. The Bucks have nothing to lose. I mean, would you agree that Giannis should be taking some more threes just to get comfortable? And how much could that actually impact in the playoffs? Because he overall this season, he has been an improved three-point shooter.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's funny. You look at last night, he's 13 for 13 on twos. He missed four threes. He's able to get to where he wants, and I think that's been a priority with him and Bud throughout this whole season. And you know, it's just kind of funny to watch this unfold and then watch the rest of the league unfold, because Ben Simmons takes two threes in the scrimmage, and then the whole world freaks out, and oh my gosh, Ben Simmons can shoot now. Giannis takes five threes per game this season. And yet it's, is he going to be able to shoot those? You know, is he going to be willing to shoot those come playoff time? What are you talking about? Like, he's right. trained for this the entire season. Like, granted, he is just a 30% three-point shooter. I'm not trying to say that he's, you know, a knockdown shooter or anything at this point, but right. he's been working on that, and that's been a part of their rhythm this entire season. So I don't know if they'll push it even further where you see him get up into that six or seven range per game here in these final four, but there's no doubt that they're going to keep having him shoot it. They're going to keep having him try to get comfortable with it, because I think one of the advantages of kind of how they're playing here is you're in the same three gyms, and once we get to the playoffs, you're going to be in the same two gyms. And if you can get comfortable with the backdrop, if you can get comfortable with kind of the environment and how your shot feels in this place, I think there's a real opportunity that you can get into a really strong rhythm. And I think we've already seen some of the teams do that. We've seen some of the players do that. And, you know, Kyle Korver, I think the league's probably
that's where I was going, expert,
the foremost expert in shooting, says this is a shooting gym. So if that's going to be the case,
guy,
then,
Kyle Korver.
Yeah, then you're going to need Giannis to keep feeling comfortable from three.
Yep. Name, how do we get Korver going? I mean, just didn't have the year that I thought he would with him. Now is the time we need to see something from Kyle Korver.
I think if you talk to some people within the organization, if they could use Kyle Korver for the minutes that they tried to use Nikola Mirotic in last year's Eastern Conference Finals, I think
that's a great
the entirety
point,
yeah. of the front office, there's probably 80% of them that would say, if we had Kyle Korver last year, we're in the NBA Finals. The thing that you have to rely on is just that he's been such a great shooter his whole career. I know talking to Giannis throughout the year, I mean, it was a month into the season, I think. I was talking to him after they played the Jazz one time, and he was just marveling at, he's like, Eric, it doesn't matter where I throw him the ball, when I throw him the ball, his feet are ready and the shot's going up. And that was a month into the year, and he was telling me, he's like, once I get to know him and know how he moves, it's just going to become that much easier. And I think you've seen them build that. Obviously, we haven't seen Korver hit the shots that he needs to here in the seeding games, but I think they're comfortable enough with each other that there's a lot of faith that if they run the sets that they like to run, if they get him on the floor in those minutes with Giannis, that he can make an impact come the postseason.
He is Eric Name, our Milwaukee basketball insider. You can check out all of his work at The Athletic and can follow him on Twitter as well. Eric_Name. That's NEHM, not NAME. just so we're all aware, because I know Eric deals with that all the time, and I think he'll be dealing with that for the rest of his life. Eric, we always appreciate it, my friend. We'll talk again soon.
I look forward to it. Thanks for having me, fellas.
All right, there he is. Eric Name joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. On the other side, we will switch gears. We'll talk a little Packer football because you know what? We've learned some things about Brian Gutekunst. I think we have a sample size now of Goody. So do you trust the man? Wendy's Big Show continues right after this.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.